Jenga. That reminds me, I need to play Boom Blocks. Did you ever play that game for the Wii?
Is that the Steven Spielberg one?
Yeah,
the Steven Spielberg block game.
It looked fun. Weren't there monkeys or explosions?
I think they're both. Oh, okay. Monkeys and cows and different critters of all sorts.
Awesome. Okay. So, I'm ready to start whenever you guys are.
Cool. Hi, Charlie. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Everyone. Good. We're back with Ben Hansen here to talk about E3.
Hello.
Hey, Ben. We have Charlie and Nick. Ryan's gone. This is on Sunday, 2 days after we recorded the initial rant episode. So, Ben, how was your E3 experience?
Well, it was my first E3. Also, my first time in LA, so it was
double.
It was a little bit mind blowing.
Yeah.
A lot happened. Like, I realized when the week was over, it's like, man, I lived more in the last week than I have like in the last 4 years. Like, it is just a crazy whirlwind experience. But I don't know where to start, so I'd be happy to take questions.
Okay. Let's see.
Robin Williams' beard, did you see it?
not in person. That was a weird thing. Like, every once in a while you hear a rumor about somebody being on the show floor. Like, I think it was the first day that the show floor was open. I saw on Twitter somebody from Harmonix tweeted, like, hey, Steven Spielberg just walked by our booth. So, Steven Spielberg is a personal hero of mine, so yeah. I just sort of had a heart attack.
You were racing towards the Harmonix booth?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I had it was like a straight out of 24 or something. So, like, I set up a Twitter search on my phone for Steven Spielberg, because people were tweeting all around the show floor about his location. Like, oh my god, Steven Spielberg just walked by Twisted Pixels booth. So, like, I was in the middle of editing a video, and it's like, all right, guys, I'm running out. I gotta go meet Spielberg. I'm sorry. And just ran out the Game Informer door. And, it was just a sea of people. I was, like, pushing people out of the way. It was, you know, racing techno music in the background. But I could not find him, and it was heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
No.
That probably would have, like, made it, you know, you would have lived more in 10 years, or in more in that week than 10 years if you had met
him. Oh, absolutely. Spielberg. Like, I honestly, as I was running around trying to find that guy, I realized, like, I think if I saw him in person, I would just break down and start crying. I really think I would.
Yeah. I have to say, that's pretty much what I would do as well. Oh my gosh. How hard was it to set up all the streams and stuff? Because I know you're having problems in the Microsoft one, I think.
Ugh, yeah. That was a cluster F. So, you know, I like editing video, but I'm not a tech guy by any means.
Mm-hmm.
So I got like this weird web streaming piece of technology I guess they used last year, but like everyone who helped with it last year is now gone.
Oh,
so it's like, okay. Yeah, you know, you can figure it out, just go out there and have fun. So I had to coordinate stuff with all five of the press conferences, you know, so I had to have a contact person trying to nail down exactly the tech, and you know, they had to have the right setup for me because I couldn't provide an HD stream.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everybody else could. So I was always the odd man out, and everyone's like, yeah, I don't know if we can do SD, we'll have to get back to you, yada yada. So like, I arrived at Microsoft 2 hours early. It was a lot of like me standing in line, because there's just a ton of people there. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, walk down to this side of the building. And then I walk down there, and they'd be like, oh, maybe you should go back to that side and try and find this person. It was a mess just trying to get in there. And then I finally got in there, tried setting this thing up for an hour. It was not working. You got a little bit closer, still wasn't working, and I kid you not, it was 4 minutes before the press conference started, before like I realized like there was a chance that I could actually get this stuff. Like, I had already like texted my boss. I was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. This is a complete disaster. There's no techies here to help me. No one knows what's happening.
Oh, man.
Like, I had to steal a bunch of video equipment from the game's radar people who are right next to me, who are really, really nice. I just kept like looking over there like, yeah, I'll need that and that and that if that's okay. So then I finally got it up, and then I realized they only had a mic out, which is a weird, you know, technical term, but for the audio. And so it wasn't amplified, so I needed a preamp, but it was insane. Like, I've never been to some place, especially like a big press conference like that, and they only provide a mic out instead of a line out for audio. So that was why it was impossible to hear.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I apologize for that. And it sucks because that was the first one too, because after that, it went pretty flawlessly. Everybody else was really set up for me. They had like my own station set up and stuff, and had the right cables and everything. So Yeah, I hope people didn't see the Microsoft one and thought, like, oh, well, Game Informer's stream sucks ass. And then just never came back, because it did, the rest of the time, it was up and running, I do believe.
I watched the Nintendo one on Game Informer.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
okay, cool.
Before you, Ben, but it was Microsoft, in my opinion.
They probably wanted you to use more Kinect, so.
yeah, no kidding. But that was a weird one, because with Microsoft, I was actually, like, you know, in the middle of the crowd, whereas all the other ones, I was kind of like in a deep, dark basement. Dude, and that was really, really cool. Like, the next one after Microsoft was EA. So just getting over there was a disaster, because I realized, like, oh, I have half an hour and I don't know where the hell it is. It's a completely different building, other side of LA, you know?
Yikes.
So they had, like, shuttle buses set up. So I was in line to go on one of the shuttle buses, and then, like, the entire 1UP crew from 1UP.com was in front of me, and I'm a massive fan of 1UP, like, going way back in the day.
Definitely.
So I was just on pins and needles, like, oh, God, it's the 1UP crew, they're right there. And then I ended up sitting behind those guys on the bus, and I was just like, I did not want to talk to them. I was petrified. It's like, I don't know what I'd say. Like, we're on a press bus. It'd be weird to be like, hey, guys, I'm a big fan. Could you sign this, please? You know? So somehow I, you know, got into the EA thing, and they had a perfect space waiting for me. And it was actually a weird thing, because everyone was streaming from the same place, essentially, as the green room. So, like, everyone before they went on stage was down in this room. So it was just a crowd of talent, like Peter Moore and Ted Price from Insomniac. The Battlefield guys, Casey Hudson from Mass Effect. They're all sitting in there on a couch chit-chatting. And once I had my stream up, it's like, all right, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to grab a Coke from this free container here and sit down next to these guys. So that was really cool, just seeing them talk. Like, whenever somebody came off the stage, everyone else was like, yeah, man, you nailed it, good job. And it was a funny, like, you know, back and forth. Like, when they were showing Need for Speed, The Run.
Oh, yeah.
That trailer, which I'm not too crazy about, but they showed that trailer, and, like, during the part where he's running along the rooftops, like, Peter Moore leaned over to one of the guys from DICE, and he's like, hey, that looks a lot like Mirror's Edge there, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And then after the Battlefield 3 demo, Coem, who's the guy, is like, Carl Magnus Trollsen, like, I had some videos with him when I went over there in Sweden and whatnot. But, like, after the Battlefield 3 demo, he came running back downstairs, screaming, putting his hands in the air, just going, it didn't crash! that was a good time. That was probably the most interesting one, I'd say.
Now, did you get a chance to meet Mr. Caffeine? And
no,
did you punch him
was,
in the face?
No, that was incredibly awkward, because I was in the, you know, streaming area for that one too, and there were a bunch of people from Ubisoft in there with us. So I was sitting next to a guy, you know, the Ubisoft guy that essentially was my contact for the Assassin's Creed trip.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I knew the guy pretty well, and it was just so awkward to try and, like, fake a smile sitting next to him, like, oh, boy. And Mr. Caffeine, I'm glad you paid money for that guy. He's a real humdinger.
That's perfect, though. You didn't mean it, because my second question is, if you did you have the opportunity to drop kick him?
I promise I would have taken him out. I just would have tackled him.
Oh, thank you.
I promise to the internet I will do that if I ever find that guy.
Oh, my gosh. Holy hell.
Oh, he will be a meme for years to come.
He's a random performer in LA, I think. That's what he is.
Just a street performer next to the Kodak Theater.
Yeah. Came up last
night. Did you see that old commercial that he was on for, like, the trike?
No.
Reichert found it, and he sent it to us through the work email system. But this Mr. Caffeine did a commercial for this stupid trike thing. It looks like it's about, you know, 7 years old, maybe 10 years old. And he's the exact same personality, except, like, promoting these stupid trikes and, like, biking around and just try and find it.
Okay.
Oh boy. So he is that way.
Huh?
What's that?
So that wasn't just a stage performance.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a camera performance all around. I don't think he's going home to his wife and being that.
What would you look like 10 years ago? I'm leaving you. So how was the stage floor?
The stage floor? It was cool. So, like, it's kind of a weird setup. There's two halls, which I think we tried to convey in that video of Reiner and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's two different halls, and then there's kind of a press meeting room area off to the side, and that's where Game Informer had like our little booth, if you want to call it that, but it wasn't really open to the public. It was just kind of like a workspace. So I spent most of my time back there. It was actually where we shot those videos of the two people talking on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was that room there. But the actual show floors were awesome. It was exactly as you'd expect, just crazy loud, lots of, you know, scantily clad women running around, and it was nuts. But it kind of sucked for me because like I didn't have that much free time.
Right.
So like the last day, I realized like, you know, I should get some more game footage and whatnot. And because the entire, you know, trip out there, I was just harassing people like, hey, you want to go out and shoot a video? We could shoot a video interview. They're like, I don't have time, man. Like, there's no way. So then the last day, I'm like, all right, I just need to go out there by myself and grab a microphone and have at it. So I went out there, and it sucks, though, because the biggest games, there's always a super long line, so I couldn't get into that. And then, like, I had to look around for, like, smaller games that I could actually talk to somebody about, and I wouldn't have to wait in line for 45 minutes. So, like, on that last day, I was able to get that interview about Poppo, EO, and Rayman Origins. But I really didn't get to see that much, which is disappointing.
Oh. Hmm. So of what you saw, though, what are you most excited for?
See, that's the thing. Like, I'm just going off other people's coverage. Like, I saw a lot of the Nintendo stuff. I played with the Wii U quite a bit. I'm not crazy about it. And I love Nintendo, but I do not think that controller is comfortable at all. I think
oh, really? Okay. I just have this burning question, because you've actually... Yeah. Are you prone to hitting the buttons underneath the analog sticks?
Is it, like, uncomfortable, do you mean?
No, like, would you accidentally hit the buttons just playing with the analog sticks?
I don't think so. No, I certainly didn't. It is weird to have them below the analog sticks. And that's the other thing. Like, they aren't even analog sticks. They're slider pads, like on the 3DS.
That's weird.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. It feels just like a giant 3DS.
I did not know this. This even changed. Once again, I changed my opinion on that controller, though, weekly, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure some cool stuff's gonna come out of it, but just playing around with it, like, I was imagining playing like Battlefield 3 on it or any sort of shooter, and it'd be incredibly uncomfortable. And, like, you know, the back isn't contoured to your hands, so it's just this weird grip. It is just kind of like playing with a Kindle or something like that, you know. I don't know. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but I am not sold personally. Although, like, the tech demo type things they had, like Chase Me and whatnot, it was actually really fun. I really enjoyed that game.
They still have time to change it. Hopefully they will.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Well, but then I did get to do that interview with Miyamoto, which is up on the site right now.
Mm-hmm.
Was going to be... Yeah, it was crazy. It was originally going to be a video interview, but I guess at the last second, some European outlet like leaked a bunch of audio from their interview, and Miyamoto didn't expect that, and he kind of cracked down and said that there are no more video interviews allowed.
Oh, man.
Which was bizarre. So I was like, all right, well, I still really want to go to this. So I'm just going to grab a still camera and pretend I'm a photographer. So I took so many pictures. I took probably over 2,000 pictures of that interview.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, it was a good time. And, you know, we put up like a small gallery on the site. You can look through some of the more interesting ones, I guess. But
yeah.
It was kind of fun for Tim to have all those pictures of him shaking hands with Miyamoto and whatnot.
Yeah.
Didn't get a shot of yourself shaking hands with Miyamoto. Like, I did it too.
Yeah, the MySpace mirror shot with Miyamoto in the background.
High five or something like that.
No, we did get like a GI Spy picture where it's the three of us, which is kind of cool. And there's like one that we probably won't use because we're all making dumb faces and like getting organized. But Miyamoto's doing this weird like pouty face thing with like his hips thrust out. Maybe I will post it on Twitter someday because it's ridiculous looking.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Now I just want to see that picture.
All right, I promise I'll post it soon.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. That's Miyamoto with a pouty face.
I don't know if I would be scarred for life or just... I don't know. Not sure if I want to see that.
Yeah, no, it was really fun, though.
Sweet.
How was it being in the same room as Todd Howard and Notch?
Each
other.
That would be nerve-wracking, but that's not all it was, because it was also Bethesda PR, which I've worked with before, and they're fine. But the most important factor in that room, which was not in that video, was that Two Player Productions was there filming the Minecraft documentary.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. Wow. And Two Player Productions is my favorite production crew of all time. So, like, I had lined this up, and, you know, Todd was going to come into that room, because I was, like, in the Bethesda booth, and he was going to come down from a Skyrim demo and just kind of jump in there and we'd film it real quick. But I had a lot of time beforehand to kind of coordinate stuff with Two Player Productions and Notch. So I was just like waiting around outside Bethesda's booth for them to come around. And like I was incredibly nervous. Like my hands were shaking. And it wasn't so much Notch. It was just the idea of meeting Two Player Productions. So it was kind of fun. Like I was just out there looking at the show floor, like scanning the heads, looking for Notch's hat. I'm like, ah, there he is. But, you know, Notch is exactly like he seems in that video. He's just the nicest guy in the universe. So, yeah, it was a good time. And Two Player Productions, they were awesome. I was really, really nervous about that, though. Just, like, trying to set up cameras. And that room, as you can probably see in the video, it was incredibly dark. And it was noisy in the background. And I was convinced that the video wasn't going to turn out well. But then after we shot that... like Two Player Productions, like, yeah, do you have a minute just to sit around and talk for a bit? I'm like, yeah, I guess we could, but I don't want to be on camera if that's what you're talking about. And they're like, no, don't worry about that. So like we just went outside and like sat on the steps and talked about like videos and video games and whatnot, and just, you know, covering video games for like 45 minutes, and I just got to geek out over all their stuff.
Awesome.
Like, awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are fans of theirs too, but like, you know, watch the Minecraft 20-minute cut, which is great.
Yeah.
But then Penny Arcade. Have I already talked about this with you guys?
I don't know.
So?
I know you talked to me about the Penny Arcade thing, like through email, but...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so just watch the first season of the Penny Arcade TV series. It is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually.
Oh, thank you for watching that, Nick. Please, everyone, go and watch that.
That's what they had on Game Trailers, not just like their comics in general, stuff like that. Just great stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm lukewarm on the comics. Like, when I found out that they had this TV show, I was like, eh, I'm curious about it from a video perspective. Like, some of the comics are funny, I guess. I guess I'll check it out. But I just devoured that show in like 2 days. Just went on a marathon. Yeah, it is incredible.
Awesome. Anything else you'd like to talk about with E3?
I don't know. What else is interesting to you guys?
Let's see. Okay, so you got to walk around the show floor and see a lot of what was going on, right?
To some extent. Mainly it was just like making a beeline for the Nintendo booth to shoot all those videos with like Tim and Dan and Phil. But I got a fair amount of time just to walk around the floor, I guess.
Okay, so who would you say like had the best or the like the coolest booth or whatever?
Man, I mean, we covered a lot of that in that video with Reiner and Ben, which is kind of an obnoxious video. Ben is awesome in it, but like at the same time, I was like, idea of doing a show floor tour. It's like, I don't know. I'm too keen on that. But once I finished it, I was like, yeah, I really like this. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, Bethesda had that huge dragon from Skyrim, which was really cool. You know, like Sony, like the big three all had like double-decker booths. So it was like a two-story type thing. So like upstairs is a little bit more secluded, and it was kind of like you had to get a special pass to get up there. It was confusing. I didn't understand what was going on. And whenever Reiner would get back at the end of the day, I just would steal all of his passes and then go up there. So like that's how, you know, like, yeah, I spent a lot of time with sound shapes on the Vita. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I guess, you know, I give it to Bethesda as having the coolest booth.
So you just mentioned like the Vita, how you got some hands-on time with that. How did that feel?
Yeah. Everyone remarks on how light it is, and it is incredibly light. But it's still tethered. So there's no battery in it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you got to keep that in mind. But yeah, it feels good. You know, I've never owned a PSP. I've never been big on the PSP. I feel like I've been missing out, but hopefully with this remastered series, I'll get to play some.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely feels good. Much more comfortable than the Wii U tablet. Yeah, but let's see, other stuff for E3, like, I guess the big thing with E3 is, like, the parties afterwards. Like, everyone talks about how exhausted they are from E3. And, like, really, it's like, walking around the show floor, it's tiring, but really why people are exhausted is because they get, like, 2 hours of sleep every night. And they're going to these ridiculous parties that all these companies throw. And, like, I was starstruck the entire time, because I'm a huge fan of, you know, video games, journalism, and whatnot for years and years. So every time I saw somebody that I recognized, just like, oh my god, it's him right here. Like, I'm talking to Patrick Klepek in a bathroom. This is crazy, you know? So in, like, a bathroom. Yeah, at some point you just become numb to everything. Like, I was at this party, and it's like Tim Schafer just, like, ordered a drink next to me. And he was like, and the fact that it wasn't even weird, that was the strangest part. Like, I should have been having a heart attack. But instead it was like, oh yeah, it's run-of-the-mill for E3, I guess. There's Tim Schafer right there. Yeah. So that was a really cool aspect of it.
Yeah, I bet. I'm, like, seriously really, really jealous of you.
Don't be too jealous. It was a lot of work. Yeah, like, I got back on that Friday and then was just editing videos, like, the next 2 days. But something that you guys should be excited about is I also shot the ending to the Smashathon documentary.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, while we were out there, it kind of has a twist ending to some extent, but it's really, really good.
Okay.
Just to tease that thing even more.
Yes. So I take it you've got, like, all your footage shot, now you're going through editing.
I have all my footage shot. Going through and editing is the tough part. Like, even today, I was like, man, I'm going to spend some time with that thing. But I had to finish up some Darksiders videos today.
Okay.
Just to post this week and whatnot. So the idea of going and editing even more on a Sunday did not seem too appealing. But I did look through the footage and started to piece together the ending, even though I don't have the rest of it cut together yet. So I still want to get it done, and I promise I'll get to it soon.
Awesome.
We can ask for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so was there anything that you guys wanted covered as far as, like, E3 video for next year that I can keep in mind? Or?
Oh, let's see. I mean, judging from what you've been talking about, like, you've had a pretty full plate, and, like, I don't know, like, whenever you had the, you know, two of the Game Informer editor sitting and talking about the press conference, like, that was probably the best part of the coverage that I saw and read.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, thanks.
In my opinion, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm big on that, just getting people in front of the camera and just talking about things, and, like, I don't know, they're always, like, hesitant because it's like, we've been talking about it all day, you know, I don't want to rehash those things again, but they still find new things to talk about, and it doesn't feel like they've said the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a great overview of what happened.
Yeah, I hope so, and, I tried to get, you know, different voices on there. Like, after I shot the Microsoft one, Tim came up to me, and he's like, so, for the Microsoft one, you had Ben and Annette sitting down and talking to each other? It's like, yeah. See, how was that? Was that weird? I'm like, I don't think so. It went pretty well. He's like, that's just a weird pairing on camera. I can't imagine what would happen. So that's kind of fun, just, you know, mixing and matching the two personalities. Like, and it was fascinating to me to read the comments for all those videos, because a lot of people were like, oh, that's what Phil looks like, or oh, that's what Dan looks like. Like, it's so bizarre that people still don't know that. Like, that's my big mission. What's that?
I have to say, Joe Juba, his voice doesn't fit what he looks like.
No, that's, like, pretty much for all of us.
What would he look like?
Here we go.
I honestly expected him to look a bit huskier than he did.
That's interesting. So, he used to be a chubby guy, and then he lost a lot of weight, like, in the last 5 years, I guess. So maybe his voice was built up, you know, in the husky days, and now he's slimming down.
And his voice will slim down as well.
Yeah, maybe eventually. But that's still really fun to me, is to try and connect, you know, the faces to the voices and whatnot.
Yeah,
because some of those pages, like the one with Annette and Ben, is just like, oh, that's what Annette looks like. And that was, like, the first three pages of comments.
Yeah. As I was posting that, I was worried about that. I was like, oh, are people going to be douchebags? But a lot of people were like, oh, yowza, look at that girl. Like, Annette. She's like, yowza? She's like, is that a good thing? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a good thing. Don't worry about it.
I gotta say, like, Have you been doing the videos for GI Digital as well?
Yeah, do you have that?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I have to say, like, Andy McNamara does not look like what I would think Andy McNamara would look like.
Based on his voice?
Based on the picture that is in, you know, Letter to the Editor. Like, that must be from at least 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, those are pretty old pictures. I think he's actually slimmed down a bit. Like, I keep having to fight Andy every time we shoot a video for GI Digital because he always wants his shirt slightly more unbuttoned than I think it should be. He always has him one button too low, so I was like, Andy, just come on, go ahead and button that up, boss. Come on. He's like, you're trying to make me look like a priest. I don't want to look like a priest. Just, I don't want your chest there flying out at the camera, man. So that's an ongoing debate, is how far Andy should button up his shirts. So, Clint, I'm curious, like, do you still get the actual magazine to them?
Yeah, it's a weird thing that I did. Like, it was, like, I had stopped going to GameStop for a little while, and I didn't have that subscription anymore. So I was like, well, I really want to keep up with Game Informer, so I'll get the 2-year magazine subscription. Mm-hmm. And then, I think it was a month ago, I went into GameStop, and I got a couple of games, and I was like, well, I'm probably going to come back here and get some more, you know, PS2 games and whatnot, and so I might as well get the 15% discount. And I remembered, oh, right, there's a Game Informer subscription tied to that. And he was like, well, you can get the digital one. And I was like, well, all right then, I guess. And
yeah,
that was right after the revamp.
Cool. Yeah, we relaunched it with the Assassin's Creed issue. We've only done 2 so far. Haven't gotten much feedback on it. Like, it seems like something that we put a lot of effort into, and no one really talks about it.
I'll give you a whole bunch of praise. Like, I like it. I like it a lot.
Thanks.
I really do.
Yeah, I think it looks really good. You know, I can't wait for the iPad version, which I think is slowly being worked on. But yeah, like, it's nice to get those videos in there. Like, Lord knows I don't have the time to do them, but somehow I still squeeze them in there. And it's nice just to, like, have, you know, casual one-on-one conversations. Like, in the last issue, there's that whole NGP or Vita section about, mm-hmm. and it's just Andy talking to Phil.
Yeah, yeah. I like the one with you and Tim talking about Square Enix.
Oh, man. I don't know if you can tell in that video, but I was so nervous. Like, going into that, I'm like, you know what? I could get somebody else to do this interview, but I know what questions I want to ask. I'll just go ahead and do it. I'll get used to being on camera, yada, yada, yada. But, like, yeah, my hands were shaking before that one, too. It's like, this is not fun. Now I know why these guys don't want to be on camera. This is horrifying.
No, it was a really nice interview. I liked it.
Cool. Yeah, it went on for a really long time, but I hope it was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And also the ones when Reiner's just, like, talking, like, reminiscing. It just feels like complete Reiner, and I like it a lot. That those are just funny and interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're incredibly cheap. It's sad to say, but like, it's a lot of just like, yeah, let's set up the cameras, let's roll it, let's set up 2 cameras, do a 60-minute style interview, like just anything to crank out there. So don't expect to see anything too complex. Like, the thing that probably takes the most time is the highlight reels for like each cover story.
Oh.
I don't know if you watch those, but like, so basically when I get back from a trip, I'll take the best of the best bits of the video coverage and kind of cut together a little trailer. So we did one for Assassin's Creed and then one for Darksiders 2.
Yeah, it was just like little snippets of the different types of interviews you were going throughout the month.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. Like, eventually I'll put it up on YouTube. I think the Assassin's Creed one is up on YouTube now. Darksiders I should probably put up pretty soon. But yeah, it just gives people an idea of, you know, what they can expect to find at GameInformer.com.
Yeah, those, like, seriously, I could give you more praise, but I mean, it might make you, like, it would make our relationship a little bit weird.
Okay. Kind of like me and 2-Player Productions, where I just kiss the rat for both of them. Oh my god, those guys are so good. And like, I can only say that so many times before it just becomes obnoxious and weird. or whatever. But like, they're incredibly nice guys. They lined up that entire thing on Notch's end. Because I don't think I told you guys this part, but like, after I did that Volition documentary, I just got an email out of the blue from Two Player Productions, like, hey, that was really well done. And it was the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me in my life, because these guys are honestly my heroes, and I never contacted them, and they just contact me out of the blue just to be like, wow, that was a clean and smart and informative documentary you made there. Well done. And like, we never expected that kind of stuff from Game Informer. And I was like, holy shit. Like, thanks, guys. That's so
like, I got to ask, like, that, well, first of all, really, really good documentary, but how long did that take to go through?
That was a ton. That was a couple weekends, which sucks. Yeah, so that was probably altogether, I'd say 60, maybe 70 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, just there was so much footage to go through. Like, because we shot like an hour-long interview for each of those guys, so just trying to nail it down into some rough story. And luckily, I mean, it's just it's a pretty simple structure because I just have to go chronologically. Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that Video Games Live piece I did actually took a lot of time. Like, even though it was so much shorter, that probably took me 30, 35 hours just trying to nail down the structure because it was all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the Volition doc, that was a lot of fun to put together. There's parts of it that I still kind of cringe at. Like, I even watched it just a couple weeks ago and I realized that there's a mistake. Because, like, I was going to post originally the whole hour-long thing. But then, like, I was talking a lot to Andy and he really wanted it broken down into bits. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So I went back and I broke it up into four sections. But I noticed, like, in Final Cut Pro, I must have not clicked one of the audio tracks. So, like, in part three or four, suddenly in the background, you can hear, like, some weird voice sample from Red Faction 2. It's like, oh, God, it's ruined everything. But I have, like, a longer extended cut, like, the entire thing that I put on DVDs and I sent to the crew at Volition. So.
Nice.
So it does exist in a pristine form.
Now, okay, wait, so what like, caused you to say, okay, I want to do a documentary on Volition rather than, you know, just like the bite-sized interviews that you usually have done?
To be honest with you, it's that I'm not that into Saints Row. That's really what it comes down to. It's like, I love the first Red Faction. And so, like, when we were pitching ideas for that cover trip, let's see, for that one, it was like, you know, Jeff Cork and Dan Reichert and myself. And then I guess Reiner was kind of in there for most of it. We were talking about video ideas, and I just said, like, yeah, let's do a History of Volition thing so that we can talk about Red Faction. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, we can do that. And then we got down there and just, like, started asking people, like, yeah, who should we talk to about this? And they recommended, you know, four or five people that we could talk to, one of them being the president of the company, that Mike Kulas guy, who's the main guy. He's just awesome. So then we just – it turns out we had a lot of questions for them. And we had the time, so we just kept volleying out questions. And Jeff Cork did all the interviews. Like, he would kind of run through the gamut for his interviews, and then I'd toss out a couple follow-up questions. So every once in a while, this is like in all the videos, every once in a while you can see the person stop looking where they should be looking and, like, looking up instead, and that's always my question.
Okay.
Like, even in that Notch Todd Howard thing, you can see in a couple places where, like, the conversation died and I had to throw out something. So they're like, Notch, tell me about this. And, like, then he'll be looking up instead of looking at Todd Howard. Yeah, so that's basically how it went, I guess. And then, like, it just kept snowballing. And then, like, that Mike Kulas guy is like, yeah, you know, somewhere on our servers, we have a bunch of old footage and old commercials and old news coverage for all of our games that you could probably have. I was like, yeah, I'll check it out, I guess. And then I saw it, and it's unbelievably awesome stuff. So that just got me more excited to go all out on that thing.
Yeah. It was really well done.
No, thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Charlie, Nick, anything else? I've just been, you know, telling Ben he's awesome, so.
Because he is.
We should stop talking about that. Did you guys follow other gaming sites? Like, be honest with me, because I'm curious how other sites did for E3 and what kind of stuff they were posting that you'd like to see us not copy completely, but steer more in the direction of.
Well, I was looking a lot at GameSpot. They have the live stage show. They would get, like, people, okay, bring us your demo and we'll do questions, and then they have, like, live user questions as well, and so I was watching that a lot.
They have one hell of an operation. Like, they had that massive booth. I did all the live streaming. Like, there were only, like, four or five of us doing the live streaming, and GameSpot was one of them, and I'm an old school GameSpot fan too, so, you know, I had a ton of questions for them, and they have like a 15-man video team, I think, and they're just nailing it for the most part. Some of their videos drive me nuts, but for the most part, they do really good coverage.
Yeah. Like their stream kept cutting out and like skipping ahead and skipping back and all this other stuff. That's the biggest issue I had with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember during the Ubisoft thing, Ryan McDonald, I think is his name, like the main video dude, he was freaking out about the feed going down for him, and he's wondering if it was going out for anybody else, and yada yada. But yeah, I agree. It would be cool to have that big of a booth and do that live show thing, but like,
yeah,
that's millions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see.
I will say this, though. I did like the live game demos, like you did with Phil, like for certain, was it?
Oh, yeah, that was that the XBLA title?
The Crimson Alliance. Yeah.
Okay.
And then also the Kirby one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kirby. Yeah, and like Dan did that big Zelda thing.
Yep.
That was nice. It's a lot of companies won't let you film the screen. Like Nintendo was very anal about that. Like every time I'd start shooting it, they'd like walk behind me and look at my shot, and they'd be like, you need to get the controller in the shot as well. We can't just have you filming the screen. Okay, so that's why it's always like awkwardly over someone's shoulder, or you can see someone's hand in the shot, or else Nintendo would kill me.
Wow. They have a gun to your head the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. But then like other sites like Giant Bomb, I wasn't able to follow other sites when I was there, but afterwards I listened to all their podcasts, and Dan is actually a guest on one of the podcasts, and those guys just are unbelievably awesome. I recommend listening to their first day of E3 podcast, because in the first like 3/4 of it, they have this amazing talk. They have David Jaffe there, you know, Twisted Metal, and they had a couple guys from Double Fine, and then another programmer from Naughty Dog.
Wow.
And then somebody from 38 Studios too, who's doing that Reckoning game, and they're just talking about developing. And you know, David Jaffe is awesome and outspoken as usual, and like it is an incredibly good listen. I recommend that.
I'll definitely have to check that. That's on Giant Bomb?
Yeah. Like, all their podcasts are great. I think Dan is on day 2 or 3. And he's on with Genova Chen from that game company. And, like, Dan's just talking about, like, pranks he's pulled, and Genova is getting, like, really, really into it. Like, tell me more about your inspiration for these pranks. It's a really, really fun and strange conversation.
So it's typical Dan banter.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can tell he's been drinking quite a bit, and like his voice is out completely. And that's the other thing, is like everyone's voice is shot by the end of E3 because there's so much screaming at parties and on the show floor and whatnot.
If anything, I would, I'd like more of those one-on-ones with you know, editors talking about stuff.
Yeah, I know. Fun. Like that's really what I've been gunning for. For the entire time that I've been at Game Informer. Number one is I don't have time.
Yeah.
And number two is like, I don't think the editors really understand why that's interesting. Because like, yeah, this is like every day. That's all we do is sit around and talk about games. And it's like, I know, but if I could just get it on camera, people would love to see that stuff. And so there's constantly internal debates about what kind of coverage we should do at Game Informer and whatnot. But I'd love to do more of that kind of stuff. Like, I would love to do a weekly show where, like, it's kind of like the follow-up to Weekend Warrior, where we actually talk about what we did
play. Okay.
Instead of what we want to play, because usually you never get around to the stuff that you say you're going to play in Weekend Warrior.
Nope.
Yeah. And, you easily get distracted by other stuff and find other stuff more interesting. So, like, that's all we do every Monday anyway, is just talk about what we've been playing over the weekend. And I'd love to get that on video, but I just don't have time, which sucks.
Yeah, I think it's overall that'd be great, because I'm speaking on maybe perhaps of a great deal of fan base, but it's just like putting a name to that, to like, or putting a name to the voice, I guess.
No, it's absolutely huge. Like, I was obsessed with 1UP back in the day, and a big reason for that was the 1UP show, and just seeing those people in the video and then hearing them on the podcast, and it's so much easier to connect the personality to the voice, to the face, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and it really helps. Like, it connects me to the site in a way that will always keep me coming back.
And it also gives you insight as to why they thought what they thought about certain games in reviews.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my big thing. It's like, we always have to have the argument of like, you guys, you know, talking to the fans, like, reviews are subjective. Like, Joe Juba gave Costume Quest a 6.0 because that was the way you felt about that game. That's not some objective thing coming down from the heavens saying it's a 6. There's no way you can change it. Like, I probably would have given that game like a 7.25 or something. Like, it's just, it's all over the place. And the more people can understand that, the better. But like, again, it's like some people at GI might be like, I don't really know if people want that. They just want coverage in games. They're interested in the personalities. But like, there was a lot of praise for those just 3 simple videos we put up.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were talking about in the comments, like, yeah, you should do more like this. This is what we want to see. And even like that Notch Todd Howard thing, like, everyone was really ecstatic about that. Like, oh my God, you can actually see them as people having a casual conversation. And I agreed. That's why I really wanted to set that thing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the more stuff like that we can do, the happier I'll be. But it's always a struggle for time.
Yeah. One last thing that I was looking at, like, from E3 coverage, G4 has a video podcast called Feedback, and they had like a round table end of E3, and they had like 5 or 6 people sitting there, you know, talking about what they liked and didn't like, and, you know, the best of for them and stuff. And I would like to see that, you know, Game Informer, you just get Reiner, Dan, Ben, Annette, like, you know,
yeah,
4 or 5.
No, I would love to see that too. That was actually the original idea, is I wanted to do, a nightly show, kind of like we did last year. I guess last year they had like a live streaming nightly show, which seems like a pain in the ass. I'd rather have it edited and look nice. So that was the original idea, but like, by the time everyone was done at like 7 o'clock or so, everyone just wanted to go get food,
yeah,
and then go out to one of the parties. And it's like, no one wanted to stick around. And like, another big thing was the, you know, the people who owned that building at E3 wanted to kick everybody out constantly. Like, they shut the power off on us on the last day as I was trying to edit.
Oh, jeez.
Oh my God.
So they just wanted to get everybody out of there before 8 o'clock. And it's like, I could edit these videos until 1 a.m. if they just gave me the chance, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another big thing. But I would love to do that kind of recap. Like, I still wanted to do that once we got back. But again, there's just no time. Like, I'm already working on the weekends just to get Darksiders crap ready, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, whatever you do, it's always seems to be top-notch stuff. Greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, be sure to supply lots of feedback.
Yep.
And by the way, I did listen to the beginning of the last episode of your podcast with the Phil Kohler impersonator.
Oh, yeah?
And I found that very funny. especially when he just kind of mumbled World of Warcraft out of nowhere. That is really what killed me. I don't know if I'm going to tell Phil about that, though. I don't know how he'll feel.
All right. Well, thanks, Ben. This went a little bit longer than we thought, but
yeah. Thanks
a lot. Riveting conversation.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
So that was our talks with Ben about E3, and that's it for this episode. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.